Today we're celebrating Israel's 70th birthday, after Israel was reborn as a nation in 1948, a nation chosen by God. And we're doing it today in particular because in New Zealand, at this time now, the 29th of April, Sunday the 29th, has come to an end, because they're the first nation in the world to receive the day. And New Zealand have called upon all the nations of the world today to blow the shofar and to pray and bless Israel. They suggested that we do it at 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening. And we're just going to do that right now in a minute. So New Zealand have initiated this call so that the sound of the shofar goes right across the world through every nation for 24 hours. The blessing of prayer for Israel will go right across the world for 24 hours. So I'm going to ask Sue to blow the shofar. The blowing of the shofar in the Bible has many reasons. It's a call to worship. Or when they were in the wilderness, blowing on the shofar on three occasions was a call to move on with God. So blowing of the shofar is also a call for God to give them the victory. Gideon and Joshua round Jericho blew the shofar and the victory was theirs. And so we're going to proclaim the blowing of the shofar this morning that Jesus has won the victory. Revelation 5:5. The Lion of Judah has done what? He has won the victory. Revelation 12:11. You have the victory by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So, three times? Okay. Thank you. So we want to proclaim, as it says in Romans 11, that all Israel will be saved. Hallelujah. Out of Zion Hill, salvation comes. Where does salvation come? Out of Zion's Hill, because of Jesus. The deliverer came out of Zion, says Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus walked on the earth. And he will turn away ungodliness from the Jews. You, God, are King, working salvation in the midst of the earth. And the Jews are in the Middle East, in the midst of the earth. And our prayer is to bless Israel at this time, that the King will work salvation in their midst. And so we thank you for the blowing of the shofar. Let it be known to all people of Israel that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which is in Israel, has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. So 2,750 years ago, Isaiah talks about a nation being born. It's at the end of Isaiah. And he poses the question, has a nation ever been born in a day? Well, it was on the 14th of May, 1948. The United Nations recommended dividing Palestine into two, the eastern half becoming what is now known as present-day Jordan, with the smaller western half also divided into two, one for the Arabs and one for the Jews. Jerusalem was to be designated an international city administered by the United Nations. The Jews immediately accepted in 1948 this proposition. The Arab League rejected it, and they still do. So David Ben-Gurion, who was leading the Jews, at 4:16 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, the 14th of May 1948, just before the Sabbath began, proclaimed the state of Israel. Within 11 minutes, the United States of America had recognized the new nation, followed within the hour by the Soviet Union. And so within the hour, we had the two superpowers of those days recognizing the state of Israel. Isaiah's 2,750-year-old prophecy of a nation being born in a day was fulfilled. It was a miracle. God's word to Abraham 4,000 years ago was fulfilled. It was a miracle. The Jews had been in exile for 1,878 years. They hadn't lived in the Holy Land since AD 70. What happened in AD 70? Well, the Romans, you remember, about 40 years after Jesus' resurrection, they destroyed the Jews and destroyed the temple and scattered the Jews throughout the whole of the world. And the Jews haven't lived there until 1948, 1,878 years ago. No other nation in history has ever been driven from its land and then returned at a later date. The Jews have done that at least twice. It's a miracle. And despite the Jews being swamped since AD 70 in foreign lands by foreign cultures and languages and persecuted like no other, they even need security teams in every synagogue in the UK at this present day. Persecuted like no other, they've reassembled in the first half of the 20th century in their land promised to them by God, with their culture intact, their festivals intact, their religion intact, their language intact, and their nationhood intact. It's a miracle. The last 70 years for the Jews have been a miracle. The surrounding countries have been threatening to push them into the Mediterranean. They've attacked on four occasions in 1948, in 1956, in 1967, and 1973. It was a miracle how Israel survived on each and every occasion, despite being outnumbered by vast numbers of men and armaments. So, is the hand of God on the Jews, or what? What is the explanation for this nation that has experienced so much of the miraculous? There is no other credible explanation than that the Bible must be true. And if you've got a Bible, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, where Moses says in verse 6, remember this, the Lord and the Lord alone is our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And Deuteronomy 7:1 says, the Lord your God is going to bring you into a land that you are going to occupy. Get rid of all the polytheism, that is the many gods in the land. Do this, says Moses, because you belong to the Lord your God. From all the nations of the earth, God chose you to be his own special people. Verse 7 in Deuteronomy, the Lord did not love you and choose you because you outnumbered other peoples. You were the smallest nation on the earth. But the Lord loved you and wanted to keep the promise that he made to your ancestors. From all the peoples of the earth. What a selection God had. From all the peoples of the earth, he chose you to be his own special people. It's called the scandal of particularism. Why has God favored a particular set of people? The rhyming couplet goes, how odd of God to choose the Jews. How odd of God to choose the Jews. It's wonderful to be chosen, isn't it? Turn to your neighbor and tell them of some incident in your life where you were chosen. Just take a minute to do that. Or if you haven't got a neighbor, just think about it. While you're thinking about it, I'll tell you about my greatest joy in junior school was on a Friday afternoon when the football team for the next day would be chosen. How excited I would be if I was chosen to play football for my junior school. Any examples of being chosen? Would you like to pray? Right, I was chosen for my football team because I deserved to be chosen. All right? A neighbor of mine bought me a pair of football boots because he'd seen me playing soccer in the street, and he reckoned that I could even make a little tennis ball talk because of my high degree of soccer skill. So I was chosen because I deserved to be chosen on merit. But Deuteronomy says, we've just read, from all the peoples on the earth, he chose the Jews to be his own special people. No reason is given. There's no merit in the Jews. Deuteronomy 7 says that God loved the Jews, but he does not say why he loved them. Romans 11 speaks of God's mercy on Israel. And 11:6 says, God's choice of the Jews is based on merit? No. Based on his grace, not on what they have done. How odd of God to choose the Jews. Well, so what, you might say, what's that got to do with me? I'm not Jewish, and I live a long way from the Middle East. Why do we get so excited about Israel and its 70th birthday? Well, the big deal, what is the big deal? The big deal for you and me is this. We are part of his special people. Who says so? Galatians 3. If you can look up Galatians 3, verses 7 to 9. It says, in the affirmative, you should realize. You should know. You should understand that the real descendants of Abraham are the people who have faith. Those who have faith are the true sons of Abraham. We all here this morning have the faith of Abraham. We are not the biological descendants of Abraham, but we are, says the Bible, the true or the real spiritual descendants of Abraham. And therefore, we have been chosen as his special people. Galatians 3 verse 8 says, the scripture predicted that God would put the, not the Jews right, but the Gentiles, and we're the Gentiles. He would put the Gentiles right with himself through faith. And so the scripture announced the good news to Abraham. And what was the good news that God announced to Abraham? He said, through you, Abraham, God will bless the Jews? No, God will bless all mankind. That includes you and includes me. That's exciting, isn't it? Abraham, verse 9, believed and was blessed. So all who believe are blessed and made happy and chosen by God as partners, as Abraham was. Another phraseology is Romans 11, 17. We are grafted into God's chosen people. And the good news gets better and better. Galatians 3, 26 states, It is through faith that all of you are God's sons in union with Christ Jesus. Verse 27, you were baptized into union with Christ, and now you are clothed, so to speak, with the life of Christ himself. Wow, fancy being clothed with the life of Christ himself. So there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. Between slaves and free men, between men and women, you are all. How many? You are all one in union with Christ Jesus. And we receive what God has promised. Wow, we're going to receive what God has promised. And we look at that in just a moment or two. So we are all chosen. But we don't receive the blessings of being chosen until we choose God in return. The Jews, undeserving as they were chosen by God and blessed by God because they alone were monotheistic. Mono means one. They alone believed in the one true God. They had the emphasis on the one God. Remember the first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Worship me alone. They lived in a polytheistic world. There were many, many gods. All the nations had umpteen gods. But the Jews believed in the one true God. Worship me alone. Remember, says Deuteronomy, we're back in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Remember that the Lord your God is the only God. And that he is faithful. He is the one who keeps covenant and steadfast love and mercy. With whom does he keep steadfast love? With whom does he keep covenant? Not only with the Jews, but with those who love him in return and keep his commandments. And that includes us. The Jews chose God because he first chose them. We love God because he first loved us. There is a mutuality about the choosing. So those of you who are married, the man chose the wife, and the wife chose the man. There is this mutuality. God first chose us, and we need to choose him as the director of our lives. Now, the last thing is this. Now, when you're chosen by God, you are mightily blessed. The nation of Israel, these last 70 years, has been mightily blessed. For every 514 people on the planet, only one is a Jew, so there's not many of them. And yet 194 Nobel Prize winners have been Jews against 13 Muslims. 34% of the world's richest 100 people are Jews. 42% of America's 600 billionaires are Jews. In 1948, Israel was a wasteland. 80% of it was desert. It is now one of the largest food, fruit, and flower exporters in the world. They've made incredible achievements in science, medicine, and new technologies in Israel, in greater concentration than any other nation in the world. The Jews have invented the laser, the biro, the lipstick, TV remote controls, genes, instant photography, mobile phones, memory sticks, DNA engineering, cardiac pacemakers, thermal imaging, penicillin, aspirin, paracetamol, cortisone, warfarin, and a million other drugs, and so on and so on. Read Phil Davis's book on the miracle that is Israel. He's the founder of Sporting Marvels. It's a fantastic book. In a list of the 25 most influential physicists of the last 100 years, 15 out of the 25 are Jews. What a blessing the Jews are to the planet Earth. But we Gentiles have also been chosen. So what about our blessings by Almighty God? Likewise, we are mightily blessed. Consider Psalm 31, verse 19, where it says in the Message, how wonderful are the stack of blessings you have piled up for those who worship you. Are you daily counting the stack of blessings that he's piled up for you as a worshiper? I was in the dentist some time ago, of all places, and seeking distraction from the impending extraction, I picked up a magazine. It happened to be the Good Housekeeping magazine for December 1996. In that, I surprisingly read that churchgoers and church worshippers have amazing blessings. Number one blessing is that worshippers have lower blood pressure than the rest of the population. Number two blessing was that worshippers are three times more likely to survive for 6 months after open heart surgery. Number three blessing is that worshippers' risk of dying from coronary heart disease is halved. Number four blessing is that worshipping the God of the Ten Tablets is far more beneficial than taking statins. And number five blessing is this, that elderly worshippers, like you and me, elderly worshippers are less depressed and physically healthier than their non-worshipping peers. What a stack of blessings, says the Good Housekeeping magazine. What a stack of blessings. But the Bible says even better. You listen to this. The stack of blessings continue in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, for those who choose God to direct their lives. Ephesians 1, verse 3. God has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. These include, verse 4, He has chosen, there's the word chosen again, He has chosen us to be presented holy and without fault before His mighty throne of grace. Wow. How can I be holy and without fault? What does holy mean? Holy means purified from sin. It also has another meaning related to that, in that holy is being set apart for relationship. And you can't be set apart for relationship with Jesus until you are purified from sin. So here am I. He has chosen to present me purified from sin, set apart for relationship to God, before His mighty throne of grace, and without fault. What an unbelievable blessing we have in verse 4. Verse 5, God has blessed us with sonship. You remember He elevated the prodigal son to the status of sonship. The prodigal son had gone away and messed up his life and was in the pigsty, anathema to the Jews. And he decides to go home. And he's rehearsing what he's going to say to his dad. He's going to say, I'll be your servant. No, I'll be more than that. I'll be a hired servant. I can't get lower than that. To be a hired servant is one who can be hired and fired at a moment's notice. But before he's able to speak his speech to his father restores him to the status of sonship, puts the robe on him, sandals on his feet, ring on his finger. God has elevated us to the status of sonship. What a blessing to be adopted into His family as His son. And as His son, we inherit all that our Heavenly Father longs to give us. What a blessing that is. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He longs to lavish us with His grace and favor. Verse 6. We have the blessing of His glorious grace, the free gift of eternal life in Jesus. What an unbelievable blessing that is. And verse 7, the blessing of forgiveness. Mercy is God's speciality. He has wiped the slate clean. He has blotted out our sins, says Isaiah 44, 22, 23. Blotted them out. He's put our sins at the bottom of the sea. He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He does not punish us as we deserve. Wow. Psalm 103, verse 10. What a verse that is. He does not punish us as we deserve, or repay us according to our sins and wrong. What an amazing blessing forgiveness is. So what should our reaction be to being chosen and to have every spiritual blessing lavished upon us. Let's look at verse 8. Our reaction to these mind-boggling blessings is this: how great is the grace of God which He gave us in such large measure. Can we shout that out together? How great is the grace of God which He gave us in such large measure. Let's do it again. How great is the grace of God which He has gave us in such large measure. Thank you, Father. Mavis is now going to read Ephesians 1, 3-12 from the Passion Bible. Let's close our eyes and let the words be written on your heart.
Why we celebrate Him with all our hearts. And He chose us with His very own, joining us to Himself even before He laid the foundation of the universe. Because of His great love, He ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in His eyes, with an unstained innocence. For it was always in His perfect plan to adopt us as His delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that His tremendous love would cascade over us with glory by His grace. For the same love He has for His beloved one, Jesus, He has for us. And this unfolding plan brings Him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by His blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of His grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, He unveiled His secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of His long-range plan, which He was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time, until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax. When God makes all things new, in all of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. Before we were even born, He gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan with His heart.
Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your amazing plan of salvation hatched before the foundation of the world. And we pray at this time of 70 years celebration of Israel's independence that we bless in the mighty name of Jesus this nation whom God made special to be a blessing in the world among the nations. And we thank you, Father, for choosing us to be a blessing to others. And we thank you, Father, for lavishing your spiritual blessings upon us in such large measure. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord.